Welcome, everyone, to Tuesday's Cancel the Cabal on People's Internet Radio and both of Andy Champagne's Shake and Wake radio stations. I know their chat isn't working there, but a lot of them are listening on the TuneIn and also on PSN Radio, thanks to Angel Espino. I'm Stephen Robertson. This is the Tuesday, the 20th of October, allegedly, 2020, Cancel the Cabal. And I do want to welcome back a longtime guest, longtime friend. He was out there in the boondocks doing something. I don't know what he's doing. Probably plotting against the American government, plotting against Trump, trying to overthrow him or something. But I want to welcome back Judson Witham to the show. Welcome back, Judson. Were you out there plotting the downthrow of Trump?
Well, actually, I'm thinking about starting a mafia, you know, a new Illuminati, a replacement for the cabal. I'm trying to figure out if there's enough people in the world that are tired of being serfs and being you know, walked on by these. What do they call them there? Luciferian lizard people? What is David?
Reptiles.
He calls them
reptilian.
Doesn't he call them reptilians?
Reptilians, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, dealing somehow on a global basis with enough people that are sick and tired of being serfs, living on the manor at the pleasure of the 1% uber wealthy.
Uh huh. Being the
I was plotting, all right. Now, in all seriousness, now I don't want anybody to think I'm fooling around here, because, you know, I've been looking for a very, very long time at, you know, who's pulling the strings and why it is that we're in this mess with IG Farben and Bayer Corporation and Monsanto and Pfizer and all these big vaccine makers that want to inject us with a microchip. Cagaments, I guess they're called. They're little nanochips that they're going to put in the vaccines so that they'll be able to scan you at an airport and to see if you're up on your shots.
Adjuvants. I think that's what they're called, isn't it?
Nano bites or something, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's what they were calling them. I was reading about them here a few months back. I think they're like little small tiny nanoparticle size RDF tags like they put on stuff in the supermarkets and in the
RFID.
RFID chips. They're only on nanoscale. But you know, Steve, I've spent an enormous amount of time, over 40 years, taking a look at this cyclical, periodic, massive financial looting of the global economic system, and give a heavy emphasis on the banking system in the United States and the way it's looted. And then, of course, my friends in England and Scotland and Ireland, they're familiar with the great mortgage swindle, the great British mortgage swindle, and how huge numbers of people in the British Isles have been schnookered in their efforts to own a home, which my understanding is in the, you know, the kingdom of the Balmoral Castle Mafia there, Buckingham Palace, that cabal. You never get to own anything in England. You always got to pay your rents. They call them taxes in the United States, but in England, they're referred to as rents. You got to pay your rents to the crown, or you don't get to keep nothing over there. You're living on the manor as a serf. And it's getting old, Steve. It's getting really, really, really old. You probably know that I'm in federal court. Several federal courts across the United States fighting for people got swindled in their homes and people that are trying to hang on to their farms up in Pennsylvania. And I've got nice single mom and her daughter down in Texas that got suckered pretty bad by a group called Aspire Lending, which apparently they're so embarrassed of what they did to Kim Hogan and her daughter Corinne, they changed their name to Texas Lending.
Oh, jeez.
To hide out, you know, so that people wouldn't realize it's them.
Uh-huh. I know you're always in federal court.
Well, that's kind of, you know, the basis of coming on the show today is what a lot of people don't understand is the federal courts. What a lot of people don't understand is how corrupt the judiciary across the United States is. In the state level, the county level, town and village, city level courts, and your federal courts. When people hear someone say, well, these judges and prosecutors and stuff, they just make it up. They make up a story to deny to you any semblance of what people believe to be constitutional rights. Just make up a... I know you don't want me swearing on your show, so I'm going to have to think here for a second. Yes, another way to put it.
Right.
They make up a pile of malarkey.
Okay.
That'll make sense to some of them Irish folks.
A pile malarkey. Of crud. A pile of crap. Sure.
Yeah, a pile of poop, you know, a poo-poo. They just make up a story. They right out of left field, they'll just make it up and use it as a bludgeon against people that are attempting to get their constitutional rights, which I hate to have to, you know, bust everybody's bubble, but they don't really exist. It's just a placebo to keep people docile and manageable and believing that, you know, freedom actually exists. And that when your Bill of Rights, your fundamental universal law rights, your common law rights are transgressed by government officials, that, you know, there's justice out there. You can go to court and get a fair hearing and a trial and let the jury decide. Well, that's not how it works. These days, they have imposed what are known as heightened pleading standards on the people of the United States, where essentially what you have to do is prove your case in the initial pleadings to the court. You have to provide to the court enough information in your pleadings where the court will just rule in your favor. This is before any civil or criminal discovery. This is before a single hearing in court on an evidentiary matter. This is before any process in the court even takes place.
Well, Judson, the way I understand it, you shouldn't go in there and plead for anything, though.
You've got a scenario that everybody in the world is facing this afternoon. And everybody's familiar with these lockdowns, and everybody's familiar with these social distancing rules, and everybody's familiar with the fact checkers on the surveillance, the domestic intelligence gathering social media platforms of Twitter and Yahoo and Facebook and MySpace and MeWe and, you know, all these other so-called network internet bastions of free speech, which are an urban myth. Everybody's getting censored. Everybody's getting put in timeout and face. I've been in timeout and Facebook almost solid going on 3 years. I'll pop up, you know, for a few days, and then wham, I'm 30 days back in, you know, lockdown. And what it boils down to, Steve, is an experience that I had about 12 years ago. Now, this is before anybody heard of this guy Snowden. And it's before anybody really was paying any attention whatsoever to this guy, Julian Assange, there at WikiLeaks. I was given a tour of the training labs, the computer training classrooms at the Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, about 35, 40 miles from the Cyber Command base inside the mountain at Fort Williams, which is out past the Salt Lake City airport, out towards an old World War II recreational park called the Great Saltaire.
You're talking about the NSA? You're talking
about
the
80 West.
You're talking about the NSA facility?
Say one more time. Well, the Bluffdale Center is right next door to the Cyber Command bunkers at Fort Williams. Fort Williams is a high value, high security, deep in the mountain, nuclear proof base for the United States Army. Fort Williams, Utah. And then Bluffdale Center is just up the street, you know, up Interstate 80, about a couple miles
right
from the gate at Fort Williams. But you've got a scenario that Fort Williams is an extremely secret classified operations base. And then, of course, the Bluffdale Center is even more so. Last time I looked, Bluffdale Center had about 6 million square feet of Cray supercomputers eavesdropping on every communication in America and probably this conversation right now. The problem that I have with Bluffdale Center is it's got a code name. This is the code name for the NSA base at Bluffdale. They call it the Bumble Hive. Like bumblebee.
Right.
Like a bumblebee hive.
Uh-huh.
And if you've ever seen the religious symbolism of the LDS Church, it's heavily Masonic. And their central symbol for the LDS Mormon Church is a beehive. It's a collective. You've got the queen bee, and then you got all the workers that serve the hive. And that pretty well spells out the cult of the LDS Mormon Church. NSA at Bluffdale Center is something that was designed by, built, engineered, and operated by and far by LDS Mormon technicians and engineers and contractors, constructors. The staffing of Bluffdale Center, most of those individuals are trained by Brigham Young University. And here's where things get a little spooky, if you will. I don't want to refer to spooks, but let's go ahead and refer to spooks. These people spy on everybody in the world. And why are they spying, and what is it exactly they're doing with the intelligence they gather? And how deep and how personal and how private do they pry into our lives?
Uh-huh.
Are they watching our children as they enter kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, you know, primary grades?
Yeah.
Are they watching our daughters in junior high school and high school?
I'm sure they are. I did a Google search on the LDS symbols. There is two symbols. One does look like a beehive, holiness to the Lord, Bible, Book of Mormon, doctrine, covenants, pearl of the great price. Another one is actually a pentagram. And
yep, and then they got a sun god.
And, yeah, there's an all-seeing.
They use the square and plum.
There's
the level square and plum, same symbols as the Masons use.
Yeah, there's a pyramid with the all-seeing eye in the middle of one of the symbols.
the symbology is one thing, but you know, when you travel to the British Isles and you go down into the inner cities of Edinburgh, Scotland, and you go to Bristol, where they launch all the ships there in the shipyards at Bristol. And then, of course, you go to London, and you go up into Essex along the Witham River, up into the Valley of Witham, where the Witham Abbeys, or the Abbeys of Witham, have stood for over 2,000 years. And you begin to quickly understand that what John Kennedy was addressing at his speech before the American University, I believe it was 2 months before he was assassinated, where he was discussing secret societies and that he was going to expose before he left the presidency. And then he wound up splattered all over Dealey Plaza in Dallas. You quickly begin to understand that for centuries, going back to the days of Pharaoh and before, there have been classes of men, human beings, people that have sought to rule everybody around them. Slavery is a huge matter of historical fact. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a historical fact.
Right. And this goes back 6,000 years, too. 6,000 years plus.
The thing that is so pronounced today throughout the world is quite literally this. Everybody on this program and beyond have heard of the terminology called track and trace, social tracking, where if you've been tested positive for the COVID virus, which has been around forever, it's nothing new, it's been amongst us forever, but if you get tested positive with this COVID virus, then they track and trace everybody you know. And you got to stop and ask yourself a question. Are they cataloging? Are they singling out amongst us intellectuals that are trying to break free of the serfdom, that are trying to break free from the cabal? How deep does this domestic intelligence gathering go? How many people are literally being monitored for standing up against the military-industrial complex, for instance, or Department of Health and Human Services, or, I don't know, Donald Trump's administration, Barack Obama's administration, the Clintons, the Bushes? How deeply do these forays into our personal lives delve? And how far are they going with cataloging us and keeping records on us and watching us?
I've got two little scenarios to pose to you there, Judson. It was 1933, Franklin Roosevelt's first inauguration. After he was inaugurated, J. Edgar Hoover allegedly came into his office and he said to Roosevelt, Mr. President, we have 150 million dossiers, or AKA files, on the 200 million Americans. That was back in 1933. He said, Mr. President, we need to get busy. And the second one, 1960, just before Kennedy took the office of the puppet of the United States, and Eisenhower was leaving his famous exit speech that everyone's heard on the internet. You know, he warned us of the military-industrial complex.
Correct.
Well, I believe it is also alleged that he he and others had calculated that at that time in 1960, this cabal of criminals had over 3 million people that were involved in bringing us to where we are right now. I can only theorize and I can only speculate that, you could probably at least double, if not triple that 3 million people now. Those are just my thoughts anyways. I thought I'd get yours.
It's remarkable that I've been kind of paying very, very close attention to the manner in which my Facebook postings are being stripped away and the way I'm being put in lockdown. Back 20 years ago, when I was up in Provo, Utah, actually studying law at Brigham Young, I began to have my YouTube channels canceled. I began to have my email addresses canceled, which were tied to a lot of postings on Google sites at that time. The thing that was so remarkable to me is when I started speaking out about being censored, I was labeled as a crackpot.
Uh-huh.
I was labeled as, conspiracy theorist. Oh, they don't do that kind of stuff.
Right.
And now today, everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Well, I also want to tell you one other
thing. This Zuckerberg fool and his team over there at Facebook, they regularly censor people. It's no secret.
Well, that's not just a Facebook thing. The American government are paying hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to literally hundreds of companies that do nothing but troll us, block us, and try to thwart us on every move. There are hundreds and hundreds of computer programs out there that create these what people call trolls or bots. And that's what they do all day long. There are literally
flag certain terms and words.
Exactly. Certain terms are flagged, and a little bot or a little troll comes in and tries to take you down. Also with your YouTube, all of social media is that way, and they're spending literally billions on this. Hundreds and hundreds of corporations, and corporations are trying to sign up for this every day, because they went in on the action.
The thing that I have spent a lot of time looking at was my primary education after, first, second, third grade, and how we were in the morning led in the Pledge of Allegiance, how we were educated and how savage the First Nation Native of America were, the inhabitants, if you will, of Turtle Island. We were told that those people, they needed the law and the law of the Christian religion, and they were conquered, and in literal sense they were slaughtered for every last square inch of what we call the United States today. It's all stolen land. All the resources, the water, the timber, the real estate, the minerals, the oil, the gas, every last piece of what we call America, it's all stolen.
Well,
stolen at the point of a saber, a musket, and a cannon.
Yes. Do you also know
who came from Europe? And, Britain, and had been murdering and slaughtering each other over real estate in Europe for 5,000 years before they brought the sickness, the virus, to the United States, or to the colonies, creating the plantations. Everybody pretty well understands the chronological progression of how people like Donald Trump and the Bush mafia and the Obama mafia and the Clinton mafia and Pelosi mafia and Cuomo mafia. I can go all day long naming political mafias all over the country, and they control and they run and they operate and essentially own the Federal Reserve. Today, this afternoon, right now, this second, all over China, there's a massive sewage problem full of all kinds of infectious bacteria. We won't go into the viruses.
I thought they were flooding over there, virtually everything. All the rivers were.
They've got huge floods going on. That's true. But apparently the Chinese emerging from their servitude leading up to the First World War and the Second World War, they have created these mega super cities where all they are is full of workers, and they're factory farms, and people are forced into these circumstances where they're a machine for the People's Republic of China, and they live in these very large industrialized housing complexes.
Well, the entire world's been doing that. All of the nations. They have been forcing people out of rural areas and into the sardine-style stack-em-and-pack-em apartments, where you get about, 300 square feet or 275 square feet or something like that.
Like in Japan.
Yeah. You know? Or in China, yeah.
Or like in New York City.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my daughters lived there for a while. They were paying like $2,800 a month for essentially a oversized closet.
Yeah, which you get
about. No, I'm serious. I think their apartment was
250.
Like, no, it was like 400 square feet or something like that.
Yeah,
it was, you know, it wasn't tiny, but it wasn't much larger than a closet. The thing where I'm going with this is simply that the massive sewage problem in Wuhan, China, where the, you know, China virus supposedly originated. It's no secret. I mean, you can just sit down at any computer you want to and research the sewage issues in China. And then when you come over to the United States and you listen to the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the United States Department of Health and Human Services, and the U.S. Surgeon General's office, they have designated, along with every major media source in the country, that New Rochelle is the infection and death capital of America. Now, New Rochelle is immediately east of Manhattan on the eastern shore of the East River, Manhattan being on the western shore. And when you begin to understand the unbelievable massive amounts of sewage that are dumped into the Hudson River every day, things start coming into focus. And if it were just New York Harbor and the East River and the Hudson, it'd be one thing. But Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C. is horrible. Up around Toronto, Canada, Quebec, Canada, all along the St. Lawrence River, all along most of the major waterways in America where they dump huge amounts of sewage every day, they've got massive outbreaks of what they're referring to as COVID-19. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy and there's a lot of debate over the issues swirling about COVID-19. But I don't think there's a whole lot of mystery to things like bubonic plague and typhoid and encephalitis and flu. And the list just goes on and on and on of infectious diseases that are spread by unsanitary water systems, sewage, and waterways. In America this afternoon, right this second, there is a massive sewage problem all over the country. And you'll notice that the major news media outlets are not discussing it. You haven't heard Donald Trump whisper it, not once. You haven't heard Nancy Pelosi whisper it, not once. Joseph Biden hasn't whispered it, not once. And you have to stop and ask yourself, well, who is it exactly that's creating this mess? Who is it precisely that are causing the sewage problem? I mean, is it the government's sewers? Who owns the sewers? And the sewage that's in them, who owns that sewage? On top of that, you have to trace it to why it's there. What's causing it? It's the speculative investment cabals, if you will, and to real estate development and speculation, directly connected to the Federal Reserve of the Federal Reserve banks all over the United States. The government, all across the country, cities, towns, villages, counties, states, you name it, federal government, they all live on taxes, correct?
They do.
And these taxes come from school taxes, real estate taxes, sales taxes, fuel tax, all kinds of taxes on everything that people use every single day, correct?
Yep, that's right.
This hit me like an anvil in the head years ago. Everywhere you drive, everywhere you go, every square inch of property that you're looking at has a tax ID number affixed to it. They've cataloged every last square inch of America.
Yeah, yeah.
And every last bit of it gets taxed. Just like Henry VIII, I heard Henry V in England during the Great Inquisition, which was a cataloging of the properties owned by the royal family of England to which taxes could be collected by the sheriff of Nottingham.
Well, they don't actually own it, and they never did actually own it. They just took it by force and coercion. Yeah.
Yep. That's the word, coercion. Now, the thing that I am working towards right now in this conversation is I'm in federal court in Raleigh, North Carolina, in Greenville, North Carolina. They popped a new one in on me. A magistrate has got her nose in Schwank, Elizabeth Schwank, magistrate in Greenville, North Carolina. Yeah. And then there's this Judge Myers down in Wilmington, North Carolina. And what I am running into, Steve, is I'm suing the state of Vermont and I'm suing the state of New York and one of the largest industrial polluters in the world, that's International Paper Corporation out of Memphis, Tennessee. They operate globally. They're a huge, massive company. They're into chemicals. They're into minerals, oil, and gas. They got their fingers in a lot more than paper these days. I had a freight train coming past me here, so we're going to have to...
Yeah, you're okay.
Well, it's not a freight. It's an Amtrak passenger train. Look at that there, yeah. Uh-huh. Amtrak just went by.
We have a small paper mill in my town too. It's called French Paper Mill. It's right on the river. It's
yep, and it dumps all of its effluent, all of its waste. Mm-hmm.
And
if it's a sulfate mill or if it's a
and also phosphate mill, the hospital's right on the river too.
Well, my family, my ancestors were scientists and engineers that worked for the largest paper companies in the world. My great-great-great-grandfather, George S. Witham, George Strong Witham, his engineering books and scientific principles and applications are still taught in universities across the world today. Very, very capable man. And as a kid when I was growing up, I used to pick up one of his books at my grandmother's house and read it. Because, you know, I was my grandfather, and there's pictures of his machines and stuff he designed and invented in the book. And there's a little term associated with papermaking. It's called black liquor. It's the waste product from cooking pulpwood into pulp to make paper. It's the resins, if you will, that are cooked out of the wood so that they produce an extremely fine and white pulp so they can make paper for like magazines, and they can make, you know, fine newsprint type papers and writing papers. Well, that black liquor, which goes into the waterways, is something you would not want to put on your morning cereal. It's poisonous as hell. Because of the chemicals that are used to cook the pulp, number one, and then number two, the organic resins that come out of the wood, because of the addition of chemicals to the pulp mixture, they chemically are altered and become extremely toxic. Now, without getting into that hole, that's another show, or that's a few other shows. The federal courts in North Carolina have come up with this made-up story. They made it up that I can't sue New York and North Carolina because they don't do any business in North Carolina. That's what the courts. No, I'm serious.
Uh-huh.
I sued them on what's known as diversity of citizenship. They're a foreign corporation, New York State Incorporated, and they do business in North Carolina, which the federal judges and the federal court personnel, the staff of the courts, cooked up this story how they don't do any business in North Carolina. So I am totally shut down, completely prevented from any process whatsoever in the federal courts in North Carolina. I cannot sue New York State or International Paper, for that matter, in North Carolina. Well, I went to the office of the controller of the state of New York, and they sent me 10 years of records of business expenses associated with business travel for the official business of the state of New York and North Carolina. 28,000 visits from North Carolina, or to North Carolina, excuse me. 28,000 business trips from New York State to North Carolina, and these federal judges are trying to tell me that New York State doesn't do any business in North Carolina. Now, if I came over to your house 28,000 times, you know, I'm doing business with Steve, right?
Well, yeah, but you might be doing business with the corporation. Who knows?
Well, what I'm trying to share with your listeners today is that these federal judges just made it up, and they didn't think it all the way through when they put it in writing, this lie. It's nothing but a lie. It is a total, complete, absolute falsehood. The grounds which they threw up in my face to stop me from getting into the records and getting into depositions and interrogatories and, you know, testimony from the people who have poisoned Lake Champlain, one of the largest freshwater lakes in America, has been so poisoned that there is no fishing fleet. There used to be one, but it's gone. You cannot buy catch of the day on the Vermont side of the lake, or they don't sell it on the New York side of the lake either. They don't sell fresh caught fish in the cafes and restaurants or the markets because the fish and the tissues in the fish are so heavily contaminated with all these chemicals and sewage and agricultural runoff. And I can go all afternoon naming, you know, why the fish are not edible.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you might have seen a great big fancy story here the last week of this giant lake trout that was caught in Lake Champlain. World record. Oh, they made a great big deal out of this sport fisherman catching this giant lake trout.
Uh-huh.
You can't eat the damn thing, though.
No. No, you probably can't.
No. And it's not according to me or urban myth or conspiracy theory that I say that. Health scientists with private institutions and the government have fish advisory warnings, you cannot eat the fish out of the Hudson River either, or the Mississippi, or the Anacostia in Washington, D.C., or the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. A lot of the Chesapeake Bay has been quarantined because the shellfish and the regular fish are so poisoned they're beyond human consumption. The Ohio River, the Red River, the Tennessee River, the Niagara River, the Mohawk River, the Connecticut River. I can go all day long.
Yeah, don't forget about the
huge portions of the Great Lakes are in the same shape as Lake Champlain.
Yes, they are. And don't forget about the Gulf of Mexico. It's been almost...
And then you've got the huge... Have you seen the images that I've sent you on the dead zones in the Gulf?
I don't know. Go ahead and explain it, though.
Oh, it's staggering. It's free. And then let's jump a little bit further to this massive... unbelievable. It's just beyond belief. The release of all this radioactive water from the Fukushima nuclear accident.
Right, right. Yeah, that's very, very soon going to be 10 years. In March coming up, yeah.
The thing that I'm trying to bring to your listeners and the British Isles, Scotland, and Ireland, the thing that I'm trying to share with them there is I'm sure it exists there, too.
Oh, yes, it does.
I guarantee you people all across Scotland, all across Ireland, all across England are suffering the same circumstances as we are here in the United States.
Yes.
Australia's experiencing it massively as well. Lockdowns, jail time, huge fines,
farms,
all kinds of...
Farms being destroyed.
Punishment. Punishment if you don't do what you're told on the plantation.
That's right. That's right. It was estimated.
Punishment if you don't do what you're told on the reservation.
It was estimated over 1 billion animals were lost during the fires.
And which, you know, kind of brings us to some of that. Now, there's lightning strikes, and you'd be shocked at the number of lightning strikes that are there in the Rockies and the Cascades and the Sierras. The lightning strikes are one thing. And, you know, I can kind of understand that, you know, when you have El Nino type rain deprivations across the Pacific region of the United States, you're going to have a tinderbox in the national forests, et cetera. So lightning strikes are a big deal. So let's just be real about that. But then, of course, there are a bunch of arson fires that have been noted. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on, wherein the general population across the world has been reduced to a bunch of slaves. Because guess who's going to pay for all that? One way or the other. Guess who's going to pay? And, of course, they're going to pay with, what do they call it? Oh, helicopter money. People are going, helicopter, what's he talking about, helicopter money? That quantitative easing stuff. Back in the 20s and the teens in Canada, they referred to it as shin blaster. They printed up money on pretty little pieces of paper like our U.S. notes. If you look at the notes in your pocket, you got to ask yourself a question. Why is that word note printed on all of it? Why did they put the word note on that?
Why is that?
Bill, the bills that you've got in your pocket. Why do they call them bills? Dollar bills. Is it like a bill for the dollar? Receipt? What is it exactly that the Federal Reserve is, what are they doing actually?
Right.
Now, I don't want to get anybody upset in America, but you know, everybody's waiting for their next $1,200 stimulus check. Oh boy, I'll tell you that. I'm just going to go wild with that. Oh man, I can't wait until I get my next stimulus check. Well, why do they refer to it as a stimulus check? Why do they call them those? Why don't they just send everybody like 1,200 silver dollars?
Right.
Or, I don't know, $20 gold pieces? What would they be? About six, how much? About 60 of them, right? 60 $20 gold pieces. That'd be $1,200, right? Am I doing the math right?
Those things are about an ounce each, aren't they?
60 times 10, six, yeah, about 20. $20, yeah, 60 times 20 would be 1,200. All right, long story short, in somewhere in there, you've got a scenario across the world where everything is rigged. Everything's being surveilled. Everything you do is being tabulated and entered into a computer, so that, you know, they can collect your sales tax, right? And so that they can properly collect your income tax, and so that they can properly collect your excise taxes on your gasoline and your tires on your car. And let's see, there's all kinds of taxes and charges associated with your electric utility bills, right? And your telephone bills. Oh, God, they got so many surcharges and taxes on telephone communications. It's mind-bending. And then fishing, your fishing license, your hunting license, your business license. Everything. They have got humanity in bondage. And they're watching everybody, including your primary schools, your junior high schools, your high schools, your colleges. They watch and tabulate and track and trace everybody. When that kid approached me at Brigham Young University and told me he had to show me something. I want to show you something. Come with me. I want to show you something. He kept pestering me. This is 2008, 2007, somewhere back. It was a couple of years before Snowden came out. He wanted to share with me what he knew about how they were training all the operators for the Bluffdale Center, the NSA spy base, the 6 million square feet. I bet you they got more than that now of Cray supercomputers that are watching everybody. Steve, I got a message for Governor Andy Cuomo,
right,
and President Donald Trump. Why is it that you, can I say SOBs on the radio?
Sure.
Why is it that you SOBs have kept the sewage fiasco quiet? Why are you depriving the American people and the travelers of the world, and in fact, the global community, why are you failing to inform the human race about this massive sewage fiasco all over the planet? And how many people are dead because of your silence? The new normal, Steve?
Yes.
Is this what they're treating us to? They don't want their investment banker buddies that have caused this massive sewage contamination of the world to pay for the damages they've caused.
Of course they don't.
And that's why I'm being blocked in federal court. I've sat down for weeks. I've sat down and I've asked myself, why am I fighting these federal judges? I'm not fighting New York State. I'm not fighting Vermont. I'm not fighting International Paper Company. I'm fighting the damn judges. Why is it that the judges are fighting me?
Because they're all in on it too.
Well, the federal courthouse in Raleigh, the Terry Sanford Federal Courthouse in Raleigh, for 50 years, 5 decades since it was built, dumps its sewage into Walnut Creek right in the middle of the city of Raleigh. Why is it that they do that? Are they purposely making people sick and purposely killing people so that, like, Duke Medical can get rich?
Certainly.
Why are they intentionally and purposely poisoning people?
Certainly.
Let's call it reckless negligence, or, you know, let's call it, negligent homicide. But why are they doing, what in the hell do they think they're doing? And when you realize that Lake Champlain has over 2,500 miles of shoreline, and millions of people live around that lake.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And the Hudson River, same thing. Anacostia River, same thing. Potomac River, same thing. Connecticut River, same thing. The St. Lawrence Seaway, the Great Lakes. I go all day. Millions upon millions of Americans are being exposed to the infectious diseases coming from the government sewers. And I want to know why. Why? What's up with the silence?
Yeah. Silence is deafening.
Well, here's my proof. Here, I'm gonna prove my case right now. Steve Roberts, would you go down to a hospital for a, you know, major abdominal surgery? And agree to being operated on a surgical theater that's cleaned with sewage?
Well, certainly. The doctors wouldn't do anything bad to me. And the hospitals
would you go to a dentist that cleaned all of his dental tools and cleaned his dental office with sewage? Would you go to a cafeteria?
Right. Right.
Buy a big, you know, meal for your family.
Glass of water.
Or like a Thanksgiving dinner to a restaurant where they clean the kitchen with sewage.
Yeah. Or boiled all their foods or whatever, or cooked their foods in that.
I've come to the answer. Now I know what the answer is. You know those Georgia Guidestones?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where they want to eliminate about 5 billion people from the earth?
Yeah.
This is how they're doing it.
Certainly it is.
This is widespread, wide-scale, government-sponsored murder.
Certainly it is.
I'm calling the kettle black here.
Well, you know, that's called full-spectrum dominance. I know we've talked about that before.
I'm from a little place in New York called Queensbury. Warren County, one of the earliest settlements in the New Americas.
Is that upstate?
Glens Falls. It was called Wings Falls originally after Abraham Wing and his tribe settled the area. But this is just a little bit north of what was known as Fort Orange.
Is that upstate?
Which is today known as Albany, New York, where Governor Cuomo and his mafia operate the empire. You know, the empire state of New. I'm not talking about Old York. I'm talking about New York. And not Old England, but New England. They're from Albany, which is a it's a shithole full of sewage beyond belief. Albany, New York is. It staggers the mind. Because in the 1850s and 60s, all across the United States, they began to build these engineering marvels called combined sewage receptors. The combined sewers of America, patterned after the combined sewers of Europe. And ever since, there's been nothing but death and disease, and huge amounts of money made from funerals, and huge amounts of money made from medical bills, and huge amounts of money from taking over people's property and farms and businesses that die. And people that have to, you know, give up everything they've got to pay their medical bills. And they do it again, and then they do it again, and then again, and again, and again, and again, and again. While all the meanwhile, they're taking huge campaign contributions from the corporations that are doing it.
Yes. Say, Justin, are you coming back for the second hour?
I can't. I've got to get on my way back to my home. But Steve, I want to thank you very, very much for letting me vent I think the issues that we covered in today's show are some of the most important issues in the history of planet Earth. The stuff isn't funny. And do
no,
not
it isn't.
Wait.
No, it
Don't
isn't.
Don't wait for major news media to do it. You're only going to hear this truth. You're only going to get the facts on Steve Roberts' Cancel the Cabal.
Yeah. Well, you know,
just how important you are.
I don't know about other people, but I can literally taste the chlorine in the city's waters when I get to a restaurant or something. You know, I can taste.
We'll do a show about that. You see, I did 50 years in major construction and development. I worked for some of the biggest real estate developers in the world.
Well, you know, they have to pump so much chlorine into it to kill all of the toxins and the bacteria. Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's because they're processing it from the sewage treatment plants.
Right.
You go to Houston, Texas, all the drinking water that's supplied to the cities in Harris County, it comes from the sewage plant.
Uh-huh.
Now here's my challenge, Steve. Now, you heard it first on Cancel the Cabal, so write it down. You know, we need to start this bottled water company where we sell bottled water at the supermarket for $4 a gallon that is sourced from the sewage treatment plant.
Yes.
How many people do you think would buy that bottled water?
That's a rhetorical question. I'd have to search
it
up.
Makes a point. It drives the nail home.
Yeah. I heard quite a few years ago that the most popular bottled water out there, I don't remember which one it was, but it actually came from the Houston City water supply.
Here's one that's just going to make you go, what the hell? We have radiological reconnaissance reports from the United States Department of the Interior and the United States Geological Service going back to pre-World War II. They went all over the United States looking for surface supply, surface resources of radioactive materials. They sent teams all over the United States to determine what areas of the country you can walk up to the edge of a highway cut and get uranium right out of the side of the mountain, where they cut in all these highways and railroads. And, you know, the bottom line is that the radio reconnaissance of the radioactive materials across the United States is absolutely chock full of regions of the country where the geology is radioactive. Now, the people that live in Warren County, New York, the cancer capital of the state of New York, where I grew up in Queensbury, is the cancer capital of America. It's got the highest cancer rates, stomach cancer leading the way.
Yeah.
In an area that the wells that are drilled into extract the groundwater are bringing water up from radioactive geology. Now, the Glens Falls Hospital was paid millions of dollars by Andy Cuomo in the state of New York to do a study into why Glens Falls, where I grew up, has the highest cancer rates in America. And when I introduced to the discussion the fact that the geology in the area is radioactive, you know what the response was? Dead silent. They didn't whisper one peep of it. And then I got attacked by people from my old high school, making me out to be some kind of a crackpot. Well, if I'm a crackpot, why the hell is it that the Department of Energy and the United States Geological Service has printed scientific white papers on the radioactive geology of Warren County, New York? I didn't write those scientific white papers. I didn't create them. The United States government did. What makes me a crackpot?
Yeah.
The fact that I put two and two together?
Yep.
If you drill a hole into radioactive geology for a well, what's going to be wrong with your drinking water?
Yep. Yep.
It's coming out of radioactive deposits.
It is.
And we'll get into, you have me on another show, and we'll get into the Rothschilds and I'll really spin your cap. You know where the Rothschild, you know where the Rothschilds are operating in America? You know where their main base of operations are in America?
Albany.
The Rothschild Natural Resources Corporation, Wall Street, New York, the old slave market in Wall Street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Nyco, which is owned by iMetals of Paris, France. Nyco, New York Mining, is based at the southern tip of Lake Champlain between Vermont and New York, not 15 miles from where I grew up. That's owned by Rothschilds. And you know what they're doing there? They're extracting the thorium for thorium salt reactors from the Adirondack Mountains.
Uh-huh.
Right there in the middle of the cancer capital of America, and the silence from the government is deafening. They're keeping it quiet. If there isn't a problem with discussing the issue, why is it that they won't?
Yeah.
They won't print anything. They won't. I have written to the Glens Falls Hospital. I've called the Glens Falls Hospital repeatedly about this cancer study that they spent millions on it. And when you start suggesting that there's a radiological problem with the geology in the well water, you know what the response is? They hang up. They literally hang up. They won't return letters. Freedom of information requests are not answered. And my lawsuit in the federal courts, New York State doesn't do any business in North Carolina, Steve, except for the 28,000 business trips that I've proven. I didn't prove
right.
it.
Right.
The office of the controller of the state of New York sent me the records. It's not my proof. It's the state of New York's proof. We have a government operating in the United States that's literally murder incorporated. Literally.
Well, there are a cabal of criminals.
People aren't outraged yet. Black Lives Matter?
Yeah. Well, they're
What about everybody else?
That's right. They're cabal of criminals.
You know how many of my friends from high school are dead from stomach cancer?
Yeah.
And unexplained brain cancers?
Yep.
All up around Lake George. Right there in the southern tip of the Adirondacks, the big tourist haven for the wealthy and the famous in New York. They go up to the Adirondacks and say, remember Carly Simon?
Uh-huh.
Came up to Saratoga and you think this song is about you?
You're so vain.
Yeah, you're so vain. Did you know that the well water in Saratoga, most of the domestic wells in Saratoga County were shut down in the 1960s? There was a product that came out of there called Saratoga Vichy water, naturally occurring spring water, the springs of Saratoga, New York.
Uh-huh.
They're all radioactive. Now, does that make me a conspiracy theorist or a historian? We have a government in the United States being led by this nitwit Trump and his ego and all of his goofy, crooked friends and the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bushes and the Pelosis. And I can go all afternoon naming freaking politicians.
Oh, yeah.
That are making a bloody stinking fortune off of murdering the serfs.
Yeah.
And, I'll bet you anything that you're going to get response from your listeners.
Well, yeah.
In England and Scotland and Ireland that are going to go, we got the same problem here.
I have been. I'll show.
So, God bless you, Steve. And cancel the cabal. I'll tell you what, man. Nuclear fusion, Steve.
Yeah.
That's what your show is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll talk soon. And thanks for coming on. Okay. Well, I didn't know he was only going to do an hour, so I'm going to have to find something to fill up for the remaining 50 minutes here. So I'm going to put a tune on and look for something and be right back, everyone. Just a few minutes.